Good morning. It is Sunday, April 21st, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums. AETN, Fayetteville Public Library, and KUAF invite the public to a free screening of The Island President as part of community cinema this afternoon at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library. In this film, Maldives President Mohamed Nasheed confronts the problem of survival as his country and everyone in it could be erased from the map. Following the film this afternoon, KUAF's Katie Hendrickson will moderate a panel discussion about the topic. AETN.org/community cinema for more information.
We'll hear more from Katie about this afternoon's film and discussion later on the show. Also on Weekend Ozarks, Hat Ladies. Red Hat Ladies, to be specific, beauty professionals, and the 15th annual Race for the Cure.
But first, car parking, bike trains, and airplanes. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has more in this morning's Week in Review.
Time. It's always ticking down, and there's hardly ever enough of it to go around. We bring you many stories throughout the week, but sometimes there's not enough time to bring you all the moving pieces of a story. For instance, earlier this week, we told you that the Fayetteville City Council awarded a construction management services contract for the Entertainment District parking deck project. The contract, awarded to Baldwin and Shell Construction Company of Rogers, set compensation at 5.5%. But one thing we didn't tell you is that the city agreed to pay legal fees associated with the project that occur between the contractor and actions related to actual completion of the work. David Juergens, the city's manager of the project, explains that the legal fees provision of the contract isn't necessarily as bad as it sounds.
So, for example, if there is a dispute between a subcontractor and the construction manager, that would be part of this project cost. That's actually not a bad thing. Actually, it's a good thing because one of the biggest benefits of this type of construction method is that a typical design bid build where we take low bids and award a contract is much more of an adversarial type relationship between the city and the contractor. This is a much more team-oriented type of relationship between the two, and therefore you end up getting better products at a better cost most of the time.
Although the project hasn't yet been let out for subcontractors' bids, the 246-space parking deck has an estimated cost of about $6.1 million, or about $24,800 per parking space. Juergens says that the project is being paid for through the fairest means possible.
Some folks don't understand where it's getting paid from. We've borrowed bonds from the parking deck fund. So the Entertainment District parking deck is being paid for entirely through user fees from people that actually park in the Entertainment District and Downtown Districts of Fayetteville. So it's not a tax. It's not something that normal people, everybody else who don't park down there are paying. It's being paid by those people who use the parking facilities in that area, which kind of makes sense. It's the most fair way to pay for anything. And those people that receive the benefit of this work, who have more places to park, who have covered parking in the deck, they're the ones that are actually paying for the construction of the deck.
He says that it will take about 20 years to pay off the bonds issued for the project. This week, we also told you about bike trains coming to some Bentonville elementary and middle schools. The program got its start after the group Bike Bentonville received a $50,000 grant last year from the National Center for Safe Routes to School organization. Kyla Templeton is with Bike Bentonville, and she says that about 30 students participated in the two bike trains that began Monday, and more bike trains started throughout the week. But with more students on bikes comes concerns about safety. Templeton says that the trains do travel along some busy streets.
On Day Street, one of the trains starts at Tiger and then meets up with more kids at Orchard Park and then goes down to Central. And so that train will also go down Central. They're riding on the sidewalk, so that's a good thing. We have a nice wide sidewalk on Central now. Day and Central are some of the main busy streets. Another one of the bike trains will come up A Street, north of Tiger, riding on the sidewalk again, and then kind of weave around Bella Vista Road and Fifth Street.
While the trains do follow some heavily traveled corridors, Templeton says that safety has been a concern from the beginning.
The number one concern with parents was the amount of traffic and the speed of the traffic. So the amount of traffic we can't really do a lot about, but we can do something about the speed of the traffic. So we want people to slow down and be aware that there will be kids out riding their bikes. We put up signs along the route so that motorists will know where the kids are going to be riding, and so that should help them to be aware that that's going to be there.
But bike trains aren't entirely new in the Bentonville school system. According to a press release from Bike Bentonville, physical education teachers from Brightfield Elementary began a twice-a-week bike train in February. This week, we also brought you a story about the 11th annual Take Back the Night event, which took place Friday evening in downtown Fayetteville. The event is held each year by the Pat Walker Health Center's Star Central Office and Respect Peer Advisory Groups. Dr. Mary Wyanth Hebert is the director of both groups at the University of Arkansas. While the march and associated speeches have been part of the event's program for several years, another visible part of the event began only a few years ago.
I think this is maybe the fourth year for the Fourth Flag Project. And basically, it was something that we could do in place of, we used to do a campus clothesline project every year that would be up during the Take Back the Night march, but we always ran into the problem that inevitably, it always rains on our parade, literally. The t-shirts always got wet and everything, so we're trying to think of a way that we could convey a message that it didn't matter if it was exposed to the elements and if it got wet.
So students came up with the idea of placing flags on the Arkansas Union Mall, one for every fourth female student at the university.
Where we get the one in four is that nationally, when you look at studies that look at victimization of college women in particular, consistently the number one in four college women are sexually assaulted within the 4 years on average that they're in college. And again, that's a stat that's been out there for 3.5 decades, and we haven't seen a change in that. And so with the Fourth Flag Project, it's a way of bringing about awareness of just what a great magnitude that is just on our campus alone.
This year, Wyanth Hebert says that 3,049 flags are placed on the Union Mall, representing one-fourth of last fall's female enrollment numbers at the university. She says that the flags remain in place for 1 week to remind people of the sobering statistic. And finally, earlier in the week, we brought you a story about attempts by the Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport to court another low-cost carrier to the airport. Scott Van Lenningham is the executive director of XNA. He says that enticing a low-cost carrier is no easy task. It took 2 years alone of negotiations to get Allegiant to service XNA, and airport officials had to tailor its gate fees and other terms specifically for Allegiant to cater to the carrier's 2 to 3 day-a-week schedule at the airport. But aside from tough negotiations, Van Lanningham says that XNA isn't alone in its search for low-cost carriers.
There are airports throughout the country that are going through the same thing. And so we're in competition with airports all over the country. There are a limited number of the low-cost carriers. There are only 6 of them, actually.
But Van Lanningham says that courting a low-cost carrier is only half of the battle. The other half lies in convincing air travelers to actually fly on the low-cost airlines once they start flying out of Bentonville.
You get a low-cost carrier in, let's say, on a daily basis to Chicago or Atlanta. The existing carriers will lower their fares to compete with the low-cost carrier. And what often happens, and this is a real danger for us because we're such a high business travel market, is the people that are used to the frequent flyer programs will want to stay on the existing carriers, and the low-cost carrier, believe it or not, ends up with empty seats. So first thing we got to do is try and get somebody in here, but then educate people. You've got to break yourself from the frequent flyer programs and use the low-cost carrier.
He says that when another low-cost carrier introduces more competition into a market, ticket prices tend to drop anywhere from $40 to $140. To borrow from Paul Harvey.
And now you know the rest of the story.
From the Herald and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.